Weekday mornings from 10 on 98FM.
Last night, Ireland delivered one of their greatest modern performances with a 2-0 World Cup qualifying win over Portugal right here in Dublin. A result that keeps their World Cup dream firmly alive. Off the Ball's Phil Egan is here to delve into it a little bit more. Phil, we're all waking up this morning realising it wasn't a dream. It actually happened. We beat Portugal 2-0. Tell me though, in your honest and expert opinion, was it the tactical masterclass that many have described, or was it pure luck?
No, I think when you're playing a team like Portugal, you do need a little bit of luck, where a lot of their shots were off target, and Kevin Kelleher made a few decent saves as well. But our tactics were good, as in we sat in, we frustrated them, and we picked our moments. And the players have talked about it before the game, that we know we're going to have to sit back, so we pick our moments. And it was the same in Lisbon, but the problem was in Lisbon a month ago was when we got the ball, we didn't use it properly. Mm. Whereas the signs were very good early on last night, where the first ball we played in behind them, there was definitely a chance to score. And we kind of saw that with the second Troy Parrott goal, or even the chance that Ogbeni had where he hit the post. That was the plan, was let's let them have the ball. They come up. We have a congested defence, five at the back, packed midfield, and then hit them on the break with pace. And that's exactly what happened. And that's obviously where the set piece, the first goal comes from us closing down their goalkeeper. It was Troy Parrott. I mean, what a night for him. All the talk was about the number seven going into this game, but it was the Portugal number seven, but it was the Ireland number seven that stole most of the headlines. Obviously, the Portugal number seven has hit the headlines for different reasons. Yeah, but an incredible night. And the pressure was on because Hungary had obviously beaten Armenia in Yerevan before our game even kicked off. Now, a draw against Portugal would have kept our hopes alive, but it would have meant we'd have to win by two goals on Sunday. So the fact that we've beaten Portugal means any win will do on Sunday. And I would say any win, it's not easy, but if we were to finish with three wins in a row, that would be some way to finish. When you consider everyone just thought it was done after the defeat in Yerevan in the first month, we drew at Hungary, lost to Armenia, everyone thought, that's it, it's done.
Okay. So a win, you're saying, on Sunday means that we're through?
As a playoff.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what's going to happen is, I would imagine Portugal will take care of Armenia on Sunday. Obviously, they won't have Ronaldo, but actually that might be the worst thing for them. And they'll top the group. They'll go to the tournament automatically. And I think, look, when the draw was made, Hungary, Armenia and Ireland all looked at it and thought, Portugal are winning this group. It's all about second place.
Mm.
And that's why it was so important that Ireland beat Hungary in their first game, which they didn't, but they were 2-0 down and they came back to draw 2-2. And that kept it going. But then the defeat in Armenia just felt like that was a real sucker punch and there was no coming back from it.
Okay.
But the win over Armenia last month wasn't pretty, but last night now has given us real hope.
Oh, 100%. Should they draw on Sunday? What does that mean for Ireland?
We're out.
Yeah, clean,
win.
No way back in. Okay.
Yeah.
How realistic is it in terms of challenges that Ireland are going to face on Sunday that we keep the dream alive and we get through?
Well, watching Hungary last night, they weren't particularly good, but at the same time, neither were Armenia. So much so, when I was watching it, you know, you couldn't help but think, how did we lose to Armenia? And I know it was only 2-1 in Yerevan, but we were a lot worse than that. It was an awful performance. And the worry so far has been that when we play one good game or have a decent performance, it's the next game. And last night would have taken a lot out of the players, and Heimir Hallgrímsson spoke about it after the match, said it's all about recovery. But they were able to take Troy Parrott off for 20 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to make substitutions. They also were missing Ryan Manning and Jason Malumbi last night. They were suspended. So there's fresh legs that can come into the team. Manning certainly probably will get a start. Malumbi probably would, because I think I'd rather have him in there than Taylor, who started last night. But Evan Ferguson could come back into the mix as well. Yep. He's their top scorer in the campaign. So there's definitely plenty of optimism.
Okay.
There's a lot of pressure on Hungary, obviously. They're in front of their home fans. Strange kickoff time as well, 2:00.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of used to the night games or whatever. But Hungary haven't qualified for a World Cup since, this would be their first time in 40 years. Now, look, whoever wins, or if Hungary get their draw, it's still only a playoff. There's still more work to do. But The main thing is we're in with a chance.
Okay, we're in with a chance.
It didn't look like that a few months ago.
Do you think they will do it, Phil? Just a pure yes or no now. Are Ireland going to win on Sunday and are we going to be in the World Cup?
I'd like to say yes, but that would be the heart.
Of course.
But I think the head would probably say, I could see Hungary being able to get the draw.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
The draw for them.
Oh,
no, we asked for your expert opinion and that's exactly what you've given now. Well, listen, optimism takes us a very long way. I'm sure that Ireland are going to go into the match on Sunday with a whole lot of confidence off of the back of last night's match. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can do it. And hopefully, Phil, we'll be talking on Monday and analysing how we're going to go into this World Cup now.
Yeah, I'm looking at accommodation in America.
Absolutely. Phil Egan from Off the Ball, thank you so much for joining me on 98FM.
Leanne Hanifin on 98FM. The 98FM Lowdown.
And she's one of the most iconic gals that I know. It's Entertainment Emer in
will
the house.
Will you be the Beyonce to my Gaga?
Of course I will.
Thank
know I will.
God.
Sorry, when is part two coming out as well?
Over Telephone?
Yes.
What?
So when that originally came out, I can't remember the year, but you remember the iconic video. At the end of it, they were like, part two coming soon. Now, I would say at this point, maybe about 6 months ago, they were like, it's coming. It's happening. Part two is on the way. Still no timeline. Still no sign of it.
We're going to be waiting.
Where is it? Come on.
Maybe they want us to take the roles.
Me and you will do it instead. It'd definitely come faster than Beyonce and Lady Gaga. Yeah, watch his space. It's coming. We're not starting off with us being the new Lady Gaga and Beyonce. We're starting off with some news about Tiny Tempa.
Yeah, so he's released a new song that's kind of taken it back to the 90s Clubland era.
Love that era. I'm here for it.
It's kind of made him a little bit reminiscent of his times during his club days.
Okay.
He has a kid now and he's kind of thinking about the social cues that kids, well, not kids, but like young adults would have.
Yes. Teenagers and like over 18s kind of. Early 20s, that era. Yeah.
So nightlife is absolutely dying at the moment. We all know the clubs are shutting down. We're getting early nights in. Nowhere's open past 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he's saying, your first flirt would have been in a club.
Yes.
Your first rejection would have been in a
My
club.
My first kiss was in a club. I know. That's an exclusive. I've definitely mentioned that actually on the show before. I think it's public knowledge. Well, yeah, no, that's actually such a good point. Because I would sometimes DJ in clubs. And it is a very strange one in that, like, some nights you'll have really quiet nights. You will have a young crowd in other times.
They just can't talk to each other.
But they're, it's a very different thing. And I'm sure that you're even reminiscing now and hearing this about the clubs you used to go to, like, we'll say back in the 90s, the noughties, even the early 10s and stuff like that, when it was at its prime.
You're getting your mate to go up and saying, will you shift me,
will
mate?
Will you shift me, mate?
Please.
Honestly, and it worked every single time. But it is a good point to be like, where do, you know, people kind of meet? Where do they have the flirting fun now? Nowadays,
I would just text now.
Just like, text or sliding in the DMs. Like, would you actually be able to?
No. Give me a bit of fun.
I'm waiting for the club revival. I do believe it is going to come.
It has to.
Because everybody has the same opinion of it, that they miss going out, clubbing, you know, the proper kind of nightlife scene. We all just need to come together and make it happen again.
The revamp of all these songs that have been used as samples, is this going to bring it all back?
Well, you see, this is it, because a lot of music nowadays is sampled from stuff from the 90s, from the noughties. So we say bring it back and we're here for it. Moving along, the news and I suppose the speculation about Strictly and the new presenters after Tess and Claudia leave continues.
Yeah, so Dermot O'Leary has been dubbed to be the next presenter, but he didn't even dance around the subject. He just had a straight out answer.
Okay.
Deny. Like being an X Factor kid, that's like Julia Roberts sleeping with the enemy.
I love how he was just like, deny.
Absolutely.
So Dermot O'Leary is not on the cards for that
at all.
No. I don't really think I could have seen him. I love Dermot O'Leary. I love what he does. I think he's a fantastic presenter. That I just don't think is his thing. Now, I know he obviously did X Factor, was amazing at that. But Strictly, no, I don't think.
I think Strictly has a little bit of like class. But it has a certain level
he's
of
listening.
Yeah. And like, he wore his suits and everything like that in the X Factor, but I just don't think.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does, but I just don't think that this is for him. He clearly thinks the same because he's not going to do it. So that speculation will continue. Finally then, like, I hate to admit, I'm very excited about this film.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Long ago, one sailor fell under a wicked curse. The only way to lift this curse is to find the world's most innocent soul.
I'm ready.
Oh, we we're talking about SpongeBob, if you did not know.
Like, so
SpongeBob,
exciting.
Right? I know I'm a fully fledged adult in apparently some
way. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, right? Because SpongeBob is my comfort show. Like, okay. I will watch cartoons to be comforted.
I listen to the SpongeBob album religiously. I'm not even going to lie. Gary Come Home
was so sad. Yeah.
You're sitting, like, literally, you're driving and the rain's coming down and you're like, Gary, please come home.
So this is coming out. There's been a SpongeBob movie that has been out previously. Is this live action? Is it animated?
Oh, God, no. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, live action would actually be very scary. Okay, tell us all about it, when we can expect it.
So it's going to be called SpongeBob. The SpongeBob movie, Search for SquarePants. It's out on December 20th. And it's going to see SpongeBob proving himself to Mr. Krabs. Oh. And he's going to be following the Flying Dutchman on a journey where no sponge has gone before.
Wow. Cinemas, streaming platforms, where can we see it?
Streaming platforms.
Streaming platforms
sure.
only. Okay, love it. I hate to admit, I'm excited for it.
I'm so excited.
I'm glad we're on the same page. Entertainment Humor, thank you for bringing us all the gossip this morning on 98FM.
Leanne Hanifin, weekdays from 10 a.m. Yeah. on 98FM.